Hello, you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with the Prescott Daily Courier for Sunday, March 9th, 2025. I'm Flagstaff volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Front page articles include Stepping Stones Agencies celebrates 45 years of sheltering, empowering victims of domestic violence. 2025 general plan up for Prescott Council review Tuesday. Petition submissions for Prescott Council candidates starts Monday. And time to spring ahead, except in most of Arizona. Now the stories behind the headlines. Stepping Stones Agencies celebrates 45 years of sheltering, empowering victims of domestic violence. New four-leader co-CEO team assigned to propel agency forward by Nancy Hudson, The Daily Courier. The testimonials and praises of fellow nonprofit leaders about Stepping Stones Agencies headquartered in Prescott Valley speak to the powerful impact this agency has made in its 45-year history. A champion and protector of adults and children scarred by abuse from intimate partners and families, Stepping Stones this year celebrates 45 years of providing emergency shelter, transitional housing, and an assortment of counseling, advocacy, and related programs and services to help them reclaim their lives. I was almost hopeless, and Stepping Stones brought me to believe in miracles, said one client. This place is God sent. It is safe, warm, caring, and non-judging. Truly amazing what they do. Another client said she found herself alone with no one in my corner, but the amazing ladies here helped me learn about my abuse, gave me the willpower to understand I never deserved what was happening to me. Stepping Stones has saved my life, another client said. She said she learned more in 2 years than all of her 58. Most importantly, the advocates loved me while I learned to love myself. The ability for one agency to provide an around-the-clock hotline, shelter, and transitional housing services, and an array of advocacy and support group programs for more than four decades is incredible, said Allison Lenacker, Executive Director for the Coalition for Compassion and Justice in Prescott. CCJ and Stepping Stones have long been referral partners and encouragers in each other's mission to care for and empower the most vulnerable of the community, she noted. The Stepping Stones leadership and advocates just get it when it comes to seeking solutions to a complex societal dilemma, Lenacker said. I'm just glad to be called a partner, she said. Prescott Area Shelter Services Director of Programs, Katie Norris, said they have often referred clients to one another, and she appreciates the resources and support they provide to victims of domestic violence as they heal. From their beginnings with a startup shelter in Prescott that opened on September 1, 1980, Stepping Stones leaders have been focused on helping victims, be they adults or children, to move beyond their abuse so they can live productive, independent lives. Part of that has been the 24/7 helpline answered by a live, trained advocate who can help victims forge emergency and needed safety plans or assist with seeking additional resources they might need in the midst of a crisis. Not all victims require or want to go to a shelter, and so Stepping Stones advocates work to provide one-on-one counseling and safety planning so they can figure out next steps, their leaders said. The bulk of the clients they serve are from the greater Prescott, Western Yavapai County areas, although their leaders said for safety's sake, they do from time to time take someone from another city or state and will relocate victims to other cities and states. In their years, Stepping Stones too has served male victims as well as fathers with children. Stepping Stones advocates make those shelter arrangements such that they are not mingling with female victims. As a domestic violence shelter program, Stepping Stones is eligible for some federal grant dollars specific to that population, but they also rely on other funding streams, including their social enterprise efforts that over time have included a coffee house and multiple thrift shops. Between 2019 and 2021, Stepping Stones founder, Chief Executive Officer Robin Burke, and her leadership team managed to leverage resources and make some key business moves such that three thrift store locations are housed in a 32,000 square foot warehouse at 2651 North Industrial Way in Prescott Valley, and their administrative officers are in an adjoining space on the property. They operate year-round a 16-bed shelter with additional cribs and 9 two-bedroom apartments for transitional living for their shelter graduates. The shelter on average are limited to up to 3 months, and the transitional rentals are available for up to 2 years. Some of their clients find employment through their large thrift store operation. As much as the need has grown in 45 years, and the agency conducts periodic needs assessment to determine the extent of what is needed, Director of Community Outreach, Alexis Miller, said the staffing and budget have also expanded over time. In 1980, the annual budget was about $30,000, and that today is at about $1 million. Beyond providing a safe place to stay, Stepping Stones clients often arrive with next to nothing with them, and advocates then work to arrange food, clothing, prescription medications, emergency legal support, and transportation as they work to mitigate the crisis. For the longer term, the Stepping Stones mission is to help figure out what these families want for themselves as they move forward, and then work with them to accomplish those goals, be it a job, schooling, addiction treatment, or physical and mental health care. Unlike some programs, Burke has led a team that is focused on not just helping victims escape an abuser until they are dealt with through the criminal justice process. Rather, their mission is about helping victims move beyond their abuse to validate the trauma while at the same time helping the clients again see themselves as capable, healthy humans, or parents, capable of breaking the cycle of violence for their sake and for the future of their children. We focus on personal responsibility, what is keeping them vulnerable, Burke said, noting that may mean confronting their own addictions or untreated mental health issues. Through therapy and counseling, we then empower them to look at their own recovery, she said, noting they do not employ licensed therapists, but will refer to partner agencies for that type of long-term supports. Director of Operations Alva Sanchez said she delights in witnessing clients' aha moment when they grow strong enough to see their own power to care for their children, sometimes starting with simple house rules that brings order and responsibility into their new home life. The agency's mission is to enable each individual or family to grow with as they make positive changes needed to forge an independent, nonviolent path forward. In 26 years, Sanchez said, she never tires of seeing them shine. With this 45th anniversary comes a significant leadership shift as Burke retires on March 31st. In a unique business model, the board of directors has bowed to Burke's recommendation to create a four-leader co-CEO team rather than hire an executive director to supervise and direct the operations. Burke is clear that she always operated under a team leadership model, and through this venture, each team member's talents will be used for the greater good of the agency. In her tenure, Burke built an agency where no one person is viewed as more important to the work than another. Every team member and leader has invested time in the shelter getting to know the people they serve. Board President Ginger Johnson said it is a novel approach they endorse because the selected leaders have the experience, expertise, and collaborative skills to reach decisions that propel the agency forward. The four leaders will be Sanchez, the most senior of the group, Miller, with 9 years, Director of Human Resources Denise Merritt, and Director of Services Corey Burke, Robin's daughter, with 20 years as a lead advocate and service leader. The Stepping Stones mission statement encourages their clients to be honest about who they are and what they want going forward for themselves and their children, advises them to engage in healthy, supportive fellowship with others, and determine what other programs they will need to help them secure their futures when they depart this program. They all get support and resources, but they have to do the hard work to change their lives, Miller said. A number of clients over time have suggested Stepping Stones prove to be a bridge of promise, moving them from violence and despair to hope and resilience. Stepping Stones is a sanctuary that has given me a chance to stand on my own two feet, a client concluded. I am finding out who I am as a person and someone my girls can look up to. I have a starting ground here to build a solid foundation under me. 2025 General Plan up for Prescott Council review Tuesday. Agenda also includes plan for public safety pensions by Cindy Barks, The Daily Courier. Remaining questions about the 2025 Prescott General Plan, a new financial policy for the city's public safety pensions, and the master plan for the Prescott Lake subdivision will be among the topics the Prescott City Council will consider this week. The Council will conduct two meetings on Tuesday, March 11th, a 1 p.m. study session and a 3 p.m. voting meeting. The meetings will take place at Prescott City Hall, 201 North Montezuma Street. The voting meeting agenda includes continuation of the Council's discussion about the draft 2025 General Plan, a document update that has been underway since August 2022. During the voting meeting on February 25, 2025, the Council conducted its first public review of the document, which was drafted by the General Plan Review Committee and later reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission. A number of questions arose at the February Council meeting about elements of the plan, and several council members suggested that more time was needed to review the draft document before sending it to the voters for final approval. Since that meeting, City Council Community Development staff has been meeting with council members, one or two at a time, to respond to questions that have come up about the plan. City Clerk Sarah Seep said Friday, March 7th, that Tuesday's meeting would include a report by Community Development Director Chelsea Walton on the questions and answers that have been discussed. After that discussion, Seep said, it would be up to council members to decide whether they are ready to vote on the draft plan during the March meetings, March 11th and 25, or whether they need more time to review the document. Seep noted that in order for the 2025 General Plan to get on the city's August 5th ballot, the council would need to make a decision on the ballot language by its March 25th meeting. If council members decide they need more time to review the document, the voter consideration could be placed on the city's November 4th, 2025 general election ballot. In order for the plan to make it on that ballot, the council would need to make a decision by early July, Seep said. Among the issues that will be included in Tuesday's presentation are the future land use plan, the 60-day public comment period comments, and the non-discrimination paragraph comments. In other action, the council will consider a resolution to update the city's pension funding policy for the coming year, including a proposal to use operating surpluses in the Prescott Police and Fire Department's budgets to pay down unfunded liability in the Public Service Personnel Retirement System, PSPRS. The council heard a presentation on the proposed policy change during a February 25th mid-fiscal budget year report, which indicated that the Prescott Police Department's unfunded liability had increased in the past year by nearly $1 million after years of decreases. The policy change was proposed as a strategy for dealing with pension fund fluctuations. A city memo states that in the past fiscal year, the police department had a $1.6 million operational surplus, while the fire department had a $703,000 $1,240 surplus. In fiscal year 2022-23, the police surplus was $393,225, while the fire department surplus was zero. The year before that, the police department had a $234,022 operational surplus, and the fire department had a $214,277 surplus. The memo notes that if the operating surpluses are used in one fiscal year to pay down the unfunded pension liability in the PSPRS trust funds, those funds would not be available in subsequent years for one-time expenditures, such as vehicle replacements, as has been the case in previous years. A city memo stated, the UPL, unfunded pension liability, will fluctuate over time, both positive and negative. It added that when surplus operating budgets are used to pay down the unfunded pension liability, it will positively impact future years' operating budgets by lowering the annual required contribution. Review and consider possible action on a petition received by the council at the January 28, 2025 meeting from local resident Ralph Hess, asking that the council refer a proposition asking voters whether to adopt an amendment to the Prescott City Charter requiring that major amendments to the Prescott General Plan be approved by the voters. Discuss possible action on an updated vision and mission statement for the city. At the 1 p.m. study session, hear a presentation regarding the Prescott Lakes Planned Area Development Master Plan and Development Agreement. A city memo notes that at the City Council's direction, city staff will provide a presentation detailing aspects of the existing Prescott Lakes Development Agreement, including the current density and water calculations, as well as processes that new projects are subject to within the development agreement and current city code. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand. From our website, choose Broadcast Info and Audio, then On Demand. Time to spring ahead, except in most of Arizona. Navajo Nation still follows time change. Thinking of calling friends or family in the East this weekend? Remember, as of this weekend, they are an extra hour ahead of you. Beginning today, Sunday, at 2 a.m., most U.S. states will move to daylight saving time, or DST. Hawaii and most of Arizona, however, will not. The exception in Arizona is the Navajo Nation, which also stretches into Utah and New Mexico, and so for continuity's sake, resets its clocks for 1 hour later, despite being situated between two territories that remain on standard time, the rest of Arizona and the neighboring Hopi Reservation. It's made for an especially unique situation with the Hopi Reservation, which is landlocked within the Navajo Nation and goes by standard time year-round. A stretch of U.S. 160 in Tuba City is the de facto border between the two reservations and two time zones. In the 1890s, George Vernon Hudson, an astronomer and entomologist in New Zealand, proposed a time shift in the spring and fall to increase the daylight. In 1968, Arizona opted out of daylight savings time because of the state's hot desert climate, where summer temperatures can soar above 100 degrees. By staying on mountain standard time year-round, Arizona avoids having longer daylight hours in the evening, which helps with both comfort and energy savings. When daylight saving time is in effect in other states, Arizona is on the same time as California, Nevada, Washington, and parts of Oregon. However, when the clocks fall back later in the year, Arizona is on the same time as New Mexico, Wyoming, Montana, and Colorado. Petition submissions for Prescott Council candidates starts Monday. 9 prospective candidates currently in race for mayor, council. by Cindy Barks, The Daily Courier. With the start of the petition filing phase for seats on the Prescott City Council approaching on Monday, March 10th, 9 prospective candidates have now indicated interest in running in the 2025 city election. As of Friday afternoon, March 7th, 2 current city council members, Kathy Rusing and Brandon Montoya, have filed statements of interest to run for the Prescott mayor's position, and 7 candidates, including no incumbents, had filed for the 3 open city council seats. The city opened the election cycle for 2025 in January with an announcement that the city clerk's office would begin accepting statements of interest from prospective candidates on January 6th. At that time, the city clerk's office reported that the seats up for election in 2025 would be those currently held by Mayor Phil Good, mayor's term from 2025 to 2027, City Councilwoman Connie Cantelmi, term 2025 to 2029, Councilman Brandon Montoya, term 2025 to 2029, and Councilman Eric Moore, term 2025 to 2029. Along with Rusing and Montoya's statements of interest for mayor, the 3 open council seats have generated statements of interest from Mary Fredrickson, Robert Gehring, Greg Lazell, a former city councilman, Henry Ebard II, Lara Hamidi Ismert, San Martin Rodriguez, and Michael Cabell, a former chief of police in Prescott. This week, City Clerk Sarah Seep noted that Monday, March 10th, would mark the start of filing petitions by candidates who have filed statements of interest and have been circulating petitions to gather the required signatures. Prospective candidates must schedule an appointment with the clerk's office to file their petitions, and on Friday, Seep reported that so far she had 1 appointment set up for Monday with mayoral candidate Montoya. The signature gathering phase will run through April 7th, 2025, and prospective candidates will be able to file their petitions until noon that day. Although local residents still have about a month to enter the race, Seep pointed out that candidates must gather between 650 and 1,299 signatures from registered voters to get on the ballot, and that time could become an issue for new candidates. Earlier in the election cycle, Good announced he was not seeking a 3rd term as mayor, and Councilman Eric Moore announced that he would not run for a 2nd term on the council. This year, for the first time, Prescott candidates are able to use the Arizona Secretary of State Office's petition portal, eQual, an online system that allows candidates to obtain up to the minimum number of required petition signatures digitally. Because the eQual system allows for collection of only the minimum number of signatures needed to qualify as a candidate, 650 signatures in the Prescott election, candidates who want to get more than the minimum signatures would have to gather these signatures on paper petitions. Information about the eQual system on the city's website states, in addition to electronic petitions, paper petitions will still be accepted and are encouraged as a supplement to the online signatures for the purpose of building a cushion. Details and instructions for the eQual system, as well as additional information for candidates, can be found on the city's website at prescott-az.gov/prescott-city-clerk/elections/#candidate-resources, or by contacting the city clerk's office at 928-777-1437. Seep said the signature filing process will remain the same this year as in previous years, despite the addition of the eQual option. She said her office would review the petitions, both digital and on paper, to make sure the candidates have the required number of signatures and that the petitions are in the proper format. Once verified, said, then they're officially a candidate. The city's 2025 primary will take place on August 5th, and the general election is set for November 4th. Prescribed fire handline prep work begins on Bradshaw Ranger District. Contractor crews plan to begin prep work today, March 7th, in the Prescott Basin for future prescribed fire implementation. Prep work will include 2.5 miles of handline, where crews will remove brush with chainsaws and build perimeter lines with hand tools along project boundaries. The project areas are located southeast of Lynx Lake along FRD 30 and south of Prescott near FRD 80. This project is part of the Bradshaw Vegetation Management Project. Crews are expected to be working in the area until April 30, 2025 to complete the project. The purpose of this project is to thin hazardous fuels to reduce the threat of high-severity, high-intensity wildfire to the public, adjacent private property, and area communities. For more information, please contact the Bradshaw and Chino Valley Ranger Districts at 928-443-8000. That's all the time we have for the Prescott Daily Courier. For Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, I'm volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Thanks for listening.